Welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And, boys, just made a startling... This is a shocking discovery, Piper. This is breaking news.
I was floored by it.
Yeah, in the radio business. This is hot off the presses, just off the wire. We know how tough it's been for Ron to be back at work for a couple of weeks, so... it's good for him. He needs to get away, Piper. He needs to recharge and refresh. And Ronnie Martin is joining us live via the miracle of Skype from a conference in Florida. Now, what city are you being pampered in this week, Big Gar?
Oh, it's one of the boys. Don't get too envious. It's one of the real you know, cities that nobody actually wants to spend any time in. It's Naples, Florida.
Oh, Naples. Yes, the gem, the jewel of Florida.
Yeah, not a hot vacation spot or anything. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to come here. You know?
No, nobody wants to come there. And boy, you know, Sojourn just they're keeping such a tight wrap, tightening the belt financially. And you know, it's just good to see that like they just kind of shot low cost this year.
Guys, it's a sacrifice for me to even be here. When they bring it to a place like Naples, the question is. Do I need to spend my time in a place like that? I mean, can I sacrifice that kind of time, you know, and give the network that kind of attention, because they are not making this luxurious for us at all.
Dude, it's tough. And I have a serious question. So when you're in the Sojourn Church Planning Network and your personal aesthetic involves a lot of boot wearing and a lot of layering involving flannels and like military jackets atop one another. Like, what do you do if you're in a place that's, what are we looking at, 80, 85 degrees on an average day this time of year? What are you doing in Naples, man?
Yeah, it's like 95. I was actually earlier today I was in the ocean playing a little catch with some of my fellow, you know.
Sure you were.
Some of my fellow lumberjack cohorts. A guy.
This is the SL Ministry pipe. I mean, I think, didn't Spurgeon write like a small volume called In the Ocean Playing Catch with... Some of my colleagues.
I was actually picturing him in boots and jeans and four jackets in the ocean playing catch.
Yeah.
That didn't seem any more comfortable than 95 degrees to me.
It's really not. And in fact, I had a guy that was going to play a ha-ha on me, Big T. And he said, I was going to sneak up behind you in the ocean. He goes, and I was going to, you know, take your, you know, buckle your legs up underneath you and then dunk you. And he said, I forgot last time I touched your hair, you looked at me and said, do not ever do that again. And I got scared. So he didn't even attempt to do that.
Well, I think we just found the thing that would make Ronnie get in his first fight.
Dude, it's frolicking, Piper. It's pastoral frolicking in the surf.
Yeah, I just don't. The hair doesn't get touched,
it's
boys.
Uncomfortably flirtatious.
Yeah, the hair does not get touched.
I'm envisioning, Piper, the scene from Rocky III in which Rocky and Apollo were running sprints. Do you remember this? And then after the last sprint where Rocky beats Apollo, they frolic kind of semi-homoerotically in the surf. I think that's what these Sojourn guys are doing.
Well, they don't get that close to me because nobody touches my hair, Big T. I mean, I have standards of which
true.
The network is aware of now, you know?
That's
you are,
true, baby.
You are more frightening than Rocky Balboa.
You know what's going to be really novel is when you record from Ashland again. I think that's going to be fascinating. I feel like the show just sounds a little different when you're in A-Town. So you've got to let us know from week to week when we can expect an A-Town recording.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, September, October, we're going to get to A-Town. It's going to take a while, but I mean, we are going to end up back broadcasting in A-Town, guys, when everything is nostalgic again and we're back to where we belong. But it's going to take a while.
He'll be back to A-Town by Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas. Just in time for my new novel dropping. Absolutely.
Boys, we have a unique show on tap in that Barnabas Piper reached out to all of our listeners around the globe via various social media platforms, and there was an outpouring of response. And Piper, you asked just for yes and no questions. So questions that could be posed to the three of us, answerable by a simple yes or no. So what we're gonna do, we're going to call this the Yes and No app. We're going to devote the whole episode to getting through as many of these questions as possible. We're going to do so while we sip a delicious cup of Lagares Roasters coffee. So go to happyrantpodcast.com, get yourself some Lagares Roasters coffee or Lumberjack tea. So they've named a tea really in honor of the Sojourn experience, being lumberjacks and pampering. So get a cup of Lumberjack tea, Lagares Roasters coffee, and let's get through these. So, boys, yes or no, pineapple on pizza? Let's start with you, Piper.
Yes, I'm thumbs up on pineapple on pizza. I understand that people are very, they feel very strongly about this, which makes very little sense to me. But yes, yes to pineapple on pizza.
JR, what about you?
Yeah, personally, no, not strong about it. I just like my savories and my sweets separate.
Yeah, I'm with you, Big R. I'm a hard no on pineapple on pizza.
I normally am as well. I don't enjoy like salty and sweet, but for whatever reason, pineapple is the rare exception. So,
Piper, we're going to let you enjoy that. We don't have a problem with that.
Okay, right, so we haven't picked a fight with Ronnie yet.
This one is funny, man. These are so random. They're all across the board, these people and what they ask. So, barbershop quartets, yes or no? Big R, you're the resident, you know, music industry maven on this program. So barbershop quartets, yes or no?
I mean, personally, no, literally cannot tolerate.
Okay. Piper?
I mean, I feel like they are a shtick. So I'm going to go no as a musical genre. Yes. As like a party theme.
I can roll with that.
I'm going to go yes, with the caveat that I would never listen to one or be in one, but I just like the fact that they exist. Like, I want to live in a world where there's barbershop quartets.
I like that, Chad. That's good.
Did you know that in downtown Nashville, there's a building that it has a like a four-story mural of a barbershop quartet? And it is the Barbershop Quartet Society. So this is the thing that exists. And for their sake, please. I'm gonna say, like, yes, they get to exist, just not where my ears have to hear them regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love them. I love barbershop quartets.
Okay, this next one is a little bit germane to me, but I'm going to let you guys answer anyway, since that's the concept of the program. The question is, will Cluck and KDY ever write another book together? Piper, you are in the book industry. You work a 9-to-5 in the book industry. You've got your finger on the pulse of this business. Will Cluck and KDY ever do a book together?
While it might not be a hard no, I would put the odds leaning strongly against it.
Big R?
Why we're still not emergent. Yes.
I love it. I think it's got legs. You know, let's get some people on the phone. We can make this happen. I'm going to say no as well, not because of any acrimony there, but like KDY lives in North Carolina now. I live in Tennessee. I just don't see it happening. Like, there's no natural overlap. So I think the answer is going to be no on that one. Next question. This is for all of us. This is kind of a business question for the program. Will T4R ever end up in Canada? So are we ever going to do a live in Louisville, but in like Toronto or Winnipeg or somewhere like that?
Live in Edmonton.
Live in Edmonton. Dude, I would do the heck out of that. So I'm going to answer this one first. I'm a huge Canadian Football League fan. Like, I'm a big CFL guy. The CFL season is about to start. I'm really stoked. They're about to have their draft. So I would, if we have any Canadian listeners, I would love to do a live event in Canada in conjunction with some CFL football. So I'm going to say yes on that. Piper, what about you, man? Open to a little Canadian live in Louisville?
Definitely open to it. I like Canadians. Canadians are great. I'm trying to remember the last time I met a Canadian I didn't think was a super pleasant human being.
Dude, seriously, I've enjoyed all Canadians that I've met.
And they're good at comedy and alt rock and hockey. So they've got a lot of things going for them. And maple
absolutely
syrup.
Absolutely. Ron, what about you?
Canada? I mean, since this is the Canada gushing hour on the happy rant, because, you know, nothing has ever existed that's been better than Canada, apparently. Yeah, I'm all about it. What our listeners need to know is that if they want us to come to Canada, they need to bring us out to Canada. We'd love to come. Nope.
They need to bring us. Absolutely. Well, that's a little business.
There's another pertinent question here, which is, how many listeners do we have in Canada?
That's the question.
Event where it's the three of us and three other people is really just like a weird triple date. That doesn't make for great.
But we don't control that. We don't control that. So if somebody wants to bring us out and, you know, be responsible for the draw, man, we would love to come out. We think we'd have a great time for sure.
big R little logistics question. Does Sojourn do any like conferences or sort of pampering retreats in Canada? I feel like you guys usually go south for that, but
yeah, we don't. There's nothing. We don't really have a lot of action up in Canada. I don't even know if we have any churches from, I don't think we even have churches from Canada. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mission Field.
Yeah. Mission Field. There's a lot of good, like true lumberjack stuff happening in Canada. Like right. maybe
why they don't go there. Cause they would get called out real fast. Like, fake lumberjack.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, man.
That's called Fumberjacks, by the way. Fake lumberjacks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just coined it. So
this next question is a little bit high concept, and I don't know who it came from. Pipe, maybe you can shed some light on this. The next question is, will you be my best friend? Yes or no?
That came from a gentleman named Nick, and the answer to anybody who asked me that question is no.
How come?
Because, I mean, we actually did an entire episode several months ago on adult best friends. And
Dude,
the answer is no to adult best friends, which also means no to Nick on me being his best friend.
Do you know Nick at all? Or do you just know him through his, like, Twitter profile?
Through social media. You know, sort of mutual friends. You know, I think he lives in Ohio, where he is connected to some other people I'm friends with. So it's just sort of one of those weird small world things.
I want you to answer for me, like, would Nick and I be compatible as friends, knowing what you know about him and knowing what you know about me?
I think you would be compatible as friends. I would be reluctant.
Maybe not best friends.
I feel like I would be putting a little too much on you to require you to be Nick's best friend.
That is a lot to put on me. Do you think he'd be friends with Big R?
For sure, because there are a handful of people who it's hard to imagine Ronnie getting along with, but based on what I know of Nick and his tweets, he's not one of those difficult humans.
That's good, man. That's good. All right. This next one is for me. Does Ted also smoke pipes? The answer is yes. I enjoy pipes. I enjoy cigars. If you want to send me pipe tobacco, we can do some address stuff off the air.
Okay. Ligaris going to get into the tobacco business, like Ligaris coffee, tea, and tobacco like that.
Dude, that would be incredible.
Now we're talking.
That would be so good, man. I seriously need to talk to Heck Ligaris about that. We need to have a meeting about that for sure. I feel like that would get dicey in turn. I feel like there's a lot more like government involved in the tobacco industry.
Yeah, but, permits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to say no to it, man. Happy Ramp pipe tobacco. How amazing!
That being said, we've seen the people who sell tobacco at corner stores and. Yeah. Janky cigar shops and whatever else. I'm fairly certain Heck Ligaris can pass whatever the criteria is for doing it legally, and he can probably do it better too.
Dude, for sure. Yeah, I've met like one tobacconist in my life who I like would actually trust. So I think Heck has a good shot at that.
Big T, that's fascinating. I've never heard anyone use that phrase before. Did you make that up, or is that legit?
Wait, what phrase?
A tobacconist.
Oh, no, it's a real thing, man.
Oh, that's wow.
a real thing, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The tobacconist is the guy that you, like, ideally have a relationship with and kind of a friendship with and from whom you buy, like, your cigars and your pipe tobacco and stuff.
Got it.
I had an amazing tobacconist in Michigan, man. This guy named Tim Socher. He was incredible. Great dude. But, yeah, I miss having a tobacconist, honestly. Okay, next question. This is for the two of you gentlemen. Do Ronnie or Barnabas listen to Gut Check? So to the Gut Check podcast. It's my other podcast.
Oh, that's awkward.
What?
That's a tough one. That's awkward. That's a crazy question.
Dave, it's not awkward. You didn't even listen to this podcast. You didn't even know what this podcast is called. That's how little you care about. Why would you listen to my other podcast?
Yeah. So thanks for answering. What do you think, Pipe?
I don't think Ronnie listens to it, no.
Okay.
I also do not think I listen to it.
Here's a tricky one, man. This next one is difficult, and it's difficult for a couple of reasons. The question is, have you guys considered planning a vacation together? I think it would be tough, given Ronnie's retreat and conference schedule, to even get a weekend edgewise with Big R. So I think it's a no on that one. Have you guys considered planning a vacation together? I haven't thought about it, honestly.
I mean, we bandied about the idea of a Happy Rant cruise at one point.
Which I would still be down with. I would very much be down with that.
I would be down with that if it could be done entirely ironically and cost me no dollars.
Absolutely. If someone else planned and funded the entire thing from start to finish, and literally all I had to do was like roll my little suitcase up the gangplank or whatever they call the thing is that you walk onto the ship. I would do it. I would so be there.
Ronnie needs to get a captain's hat.
Yeah, we got to get him in a naval uniform, full like white crisp naval military uniform, and then I would be there for sure. All right, next question. Does Barnabas play anything musical? So do you play any musical instruments, Pipe?
I do not. I was forced against my will to be in various choirs up through about age 15. Mm-hmm. And then my parents gave up on me.
Fascinating. Now, did that forcing originate from John or Noel? Like, where did that come from?
It was actually them making a concession, because all my brothers were – I have three older brothers. All of them were forced to learn a musical instrument. A couple of them enjoyed it. The other one not so much. And they gave up on forcing music lessons by the time I came around. And so choir was the next step down. I was like, but you still have to do this musical thing.
Gotcha.
And it was – I hated it.
Really? What did you hate about it, Pipe?
I have never met people who are more miserable with their life than Christian school music teachers.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's so
funny. They are angry. They hate anybody under the age of like 45. they lose their temper. They scream. I thought we were going to give one guy a heart attack. He was a slightly overweight gentleman, and kind of florid in his complexion to begin with.
Dude, I know exactly what you're describing.
He would get so mad, he would grip the music stand until his knuckles were white.
Yes.
And you could just tell, like, everything in him was trying to swallow the swear words that he wanted to yell at us.
Dude, I love it. While he's imploring you to sing joyfully.
That's right. He's like, sing for joy to the Lord and we will like it.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
Oh, I love it, dude.
I had another guy who used to hit his music stand so hard it would flip over and catapult his sheet music everywhere. And, of course, when you're a 13-year-old boy, you realize, oh, this is now my favorite game, and it's piss off the music teacher. So
always goes when I see a music teacher like that is, like, I always think of them, like, drinking alone at home. You know what I mean? Like, just, it makes me sad. It makes me beyond sad. So, like, even you talking about it a little bit is making me sad, too. But
what would be their drink of choice?
Oh, something sad. What would that be?
Just straight gin?
Straight gin, maybe, or, like, I don't know, like Seagram's wine coolers from the 90s. You know what I mean? You'd have to drink, like, 25 of them.
Or, like, extremely un-uncraft beer.
Un-uncraft beer,
They keep Franzia in their desk drawer.
Franzia, yeah. Like a little box of Franzia. Oh, that's sad. That's the saddest. Next question. Does Ted play anything musical? And this is going to shock people, but I do play two musical instruments. I took a class my senior year in college called Intro to Guitar. So I learned some guitar playing as a college senior. I learned how to play some.
Subtitle, still have a chance to meet girls.
Oh, absolutely, dude. So I learned only like... You know that subgenre of like sensitive 90s girl music, like the Sarah McLachlan, Tori Amos, like I learned a bunch of those songs so I could play them for my lady and impress her. So that was kind of the whole point of that class.
It worked.
It did work, man. Yeah, still working after all these years. But I probably only play guitar like once a year now. Like I'll pick it up and plink around on it. But so I play guitar and I play the saxophone, which was a much like your experience, Pipe, kind of a forced endeavor from my mom. And it was her attempt to, like, get me into classes with good kids because, like, the band kids were good kids in my town. So so I sat there holding a saxophone for years so that I could be in good kid classes.
Wow.
So
you were Lisa Simpson.
Dude, I was. I was totally Lisa Simpson. Absolutely. Next question. Are most wedding receptions even fun? Big R, yes or no on wedding receptions?
I mean, dude, it really depends. I mean, if I'm not doing the wedding and just hanging out and they got a lot of good food, I'm all in.
There you go.
So I think the answer to that question then is no, most wedding receptions are not fun because most of them, well, if they're held at a church, they're not fun. You cannot have a fun wedding reception held at a church, period, ever.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna say maybe on that, but I'll tell you a quick story. So we were at this was at Katie Wise Church, so this was probably like a decade ago. And I had written my adoption memoir called Hello, I Love You. And there was like one short paragraph in there that would have offended like the entire church. And there was a guy in the wedding party who was smashed. Like he was drinking a lot of gin and tonics. And he stood up with a copy of my book and read that paragraph out loud to the whole room.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a fun evening. It's a really nice memory. I don't know what became of that young man, but...
Do you mean you don't know what became him? Like, you don't know if anybody's found his body yet?
No, dude. I wish. But, yeah, I don't know what became of him.
Can I ask a follow-up question to Ronnie?
Absolutely.
Ronnie, what is the wedding reception experience like if you did do the wedding? I've never done a wedding, so I don't know what that's like.
This is interesting.
Dude, you know what it feels like? It just feels like it feels a lot like after a church service. That's kind of how the reception mm-hmm. feels to me if you've like done the wedding. You know what
that
I mean?
That kind of chit chat, yeah.
Yeah, you're just, I feel like, I mean, although I'm not obligated to like walk around and like do all the greeting, you just feel kind of obligated to do that. You know, there's like unspoken expectation. So
yeah. Yeah. Now this one, Big R, is for you. This is important. This is a business question related to Twitter. Will @RonnieJMartin get a blue check before @JaredCWilson? I'm going to start with you, Big R, and then I want to get Piper's input on this as a marketing professional.
I mean, okay, so there's one rational side of me that says there's no human way possible. Then there's the other side of me that thinks, dude, there is some conspiracy against Jared C. getting a blue check out there. Somebody's preventing it, and I kind of like that, which means there's a chance mm-hmm. I could get it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's strong. Pipe, what do you say about this?
I will say I hope Ronnie gets one before Jared, simply because that would be so fun. Knowing his like the boiling desire of check, and just to have Ronnie who really genuinely I don't think could care less. It is just there's no less care than he has about the blue check. If he got one and Jared didn't, it would be delightful.
And guys, the reason why I don't care is because I'm just an ordinary pastor. You know, I'm not aspiring to anything above or beyond just my regular
just
congregation.
Just an ordinary pastor frolicking in the surf in Naples.
That's what I'm like saying. That, exactly. Just like ordinary Joes like me do, right?
Absolutely.
You know, a club soda in one hand, a Frisbee in the other hand. You know, how about some water, guys? How about dipping your toes in the water with me?
Piper, have you seen you remember that scene in Rocky IV where Rocky's training in Siberia and he's looking at his image in the mirror, and taped onto the mirror is a picture of Drago, like a newspaper cutout? I feel like on Jared C. Wilson's mirror is just a picture of a blue check. And when he's done training, he just grabs it and crumbles it up dramatically. I feel with you guys, like Big R is going to get a blue check before Jared C. Wilson, and it's going to further fuel his rage. Next question. This is a little easier. Do you like raisins? Yes or no? Piper, let's start with you.
Does anybody like raisins? I mean, I don't mean that everybody hates raisins, but like, is anybody like, man, I'm in the mood for
raisins. Yeah, I just really need some raisins.
I am of the ilk that says they're good in other things. Like I like oatmeal raisin cookies just fine. I like Raisin Bran just fine. Like I don't love them, but that's fine. But I don't like raisins. I've never desired raisins.
Dude, I'm a big Raisin Bran guy, man. I ride with Raisin Bran. So I'm going to say yes to this one. Big R, what about you?
Yeah, baby, I'm with you. You know what's weird? I mean, Pipe, I actually love raisins. And the reason why is because I don't really do sugar. So that's like candy. That's my candy. Raisins are my candy. Raisins are my Skittles now. They're my Skittles.
I just want to curl up in the corner and cry on your behalf right now.
I know. Raisins, it's not a sweet life. I mean, even in Naples, it doesn't help me, right? Even in Naples, it's not a help. But, like, it is what I have. You know what I do? I do love trail mix, though. So, like, raisins, almonds, cashews. That, I mean, I would even choose that over candy. I love it so much.
Baby, do you munch on a little trail mix, like the 3 weeks out of the year that you're in the office, like grinding away on those sermons, just with a little bowl of trail
mix? Baby, I munch it every day. It's a staple for me. I eat it every day. I crave it. I love it. I mean, I have it. I have it. I'm looking at some right now on my desk overlooking the ocean right now.
That's amazing. All right. boys, I have a little bit of a word question now, since we're all in the word business, we're men of letters. Will there ever be a day that the word hipster will become irrelevant? And I think probably it already has, like 2 years ago, but I think we as a program are single-handedly probably keeping it alive. So and the joke dies when we say it's over. So I'm gonna say yes, it will become irrelevant. Piper, what say you?
So your answer was it becomes irrelevant when we say it becomes irrelevant?
Correct. Yeah.
I'm perfectly willing to co-sign that. In the broader society, I think it means absolutely nothing. It's like the term evangelical. Nobody that's knows true. What it means, and everybody hates them. So
that's true.
That's good. Hipsters.
Well said. Okay, this next one is for you, Big R. Is Ronnie a supporter of the alternative flower movement? Almond, coconut, hemp, take your pick from God's green earth. So flower as in like the kind of flower you like make baked goods out of, not the kind that like grows out of the ground. So is Ronnie a supporter of the alternative flower movement, which I didn't even know was a movement. I assume you can get like t-shirts and like bumper stickers for this.
I know. So, I feel like I should be picketing for flower now.
I feel like I should too. So Big R, are you a supporter of that?
Yeah. I mean, I've never even heard of the alternative flower movement, except I actually don't do a lot of flower now, given what I'm eating. So I guess kind of I am, right? I am by default, and I didn't even know it. So here I am, an Alterna flower guy, and I didn't even know it. So there you go.
Alterna flower guy, man. You need to leverage that. I mean, that's a whole community that you could be, you know, you could get some traction in that.
I'm going to do a little research. I'm going to do some research on that for sure.
So, you should, absolutely.
Thanks, whoever wrote that in. Thank you.
All right, I'm skipping around here because some of these are better than others.
that was really diplomatically put.
Yeah, I was running through some other phrases that I could say, and I decided not to. Would DC beat Marvel?
I think Ronnie should answer this because he loves superhero stories.
Yeah, Big R, would DC beat Marvel?
I mean, that's one of, if you've known me for literally 30 seconds, you know that that's one of the most preposterous questions to ask me in the history of the world, given one of my last tweets even, which is, if you're curious what a new Marvel movie looks like, just watch the last Marvel movie because they're all the same. There you go.
Piper.
Sorry, Piper. I don't mean to get on your grill.
No, that's why I pitched it your way, because I wanted to hear your utter disdain.
It's not even disdain. I literally don't care. It's preposterous to me. It's like watching a new episode of Big Bang Theory. Surely you've already seen this before, and everybody's hyped, and it's going to be the biggest selling movie of all time. I'm just so confused.
Offended you compared Big Bang Theory to anything superhero, because Big Bang Theory is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Well, I agree.
But, DC would beat Marvel simply because Superman is a cheat code. Marvel is better in every movie, though. So.
Which one has Ant-Man with Paul Rudd?
That's Marvel.
But I mean, yeah, Piper, don't they all share the same superheroes now? Like how come you can be DC and have Spider-Man, and you can be Marvel and have Spider-Man?
DC is like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Like they own the
no,
rights,
dude. But then why was Ben Affleck? Why was he like in? Why was he Batman and like Spider-Man? I mean, what? Didn't they cross that thing over?
Was never Spider-Man. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. What about? It's so confusing. You guys see what I mean? See what it's done to me? I don't even know how to think anymore. It's so complex and confusing. Look what it's done.
If Ron was a superhero from either universe, which one would he be?
So confusing. I'd be confused, yeah. Man. That's who I am.
Confused man. You'd be retreat man, dude. You'd be retreat man.
I'd be conference man.
Oh, conference man with a little lanyard and a little, like, his leotard would be.
My whole leotard would be a lanyard.
It would be denim. It would be a denim leotard.
It would be a denim leotard with a lanyard, conference man. His cape would be the lanyard.
The lanyard double as some sort of weapon?
It would. Yeah, the lanyard would for sure double as a weapon.
Judas.
Oh, retreat man. He'd have some airline tickets and a little rolling bag full of, raisins, exactly, and trail mix.
Wow.
And almond flour.
Oh, dude, I love retreat, man. We need to get some artists on this. So,
my life is really sad, isn't it, guys? My life has really been reduced.
I actually know that we have a couple of people who listen to the program who are artists, and I would love this next week to see some preliminary sketches of retreat man or conference man. You can go conference man or retreat man, either way. I would love to see the sketches. So
I like Retreat Man. Retreat Man has a better flow, Big T. I like Retreat Man.
I agree, baby. Yeah, Retreat Man is good, man. That's really, really good. So
the funny thing is, Conference Man actually sounds like something that some big corporation would have made an ad campaign around and thought it was clever.
Dude, yeah, Conference Man should be the name of our conference. We should do the Conference Man Conference. That should be our writing CMC. Conference.
Dude, I love it. I'm going to CMC Conference.
Yeah, Conference Man Conference with the guys from the RAN. It's going to be the bomb.
Dude, that's what we should call our Canada event, man.
Conference CMC, Man Conference. Conference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conference Man Canada, CNCC. I mean, we just keep adding C's on this thing all day long.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, we can have it in Toronto, man. I can catch a CFL game. That'll be sweet.
Oh, there's another C.
It's another C. It's another C, exactly. Okay, next. Given the chance, would you star in a Christian movie? And I have to tell you, since this is radio, not television, the movie is in quotation marks. So I'm making air quotes around the word movie. So given the chance, would you star in a Christian movie? Piper, you first.
I mean, my gut reaction is no. But then when I started considering the budget for some of these, I backed off the hard no, but then I thought about my sense of pride and ego, and it's back to a hard no.
Yeah, it's going to be a yes for me, provided if Nick Cage and or Kirk Cameron were involved, I would do it. I would do it for the stories. I would do it for the connections. I would have I would be guaranteed, Piper, to have the funniest story in the room to tell for the rest of my life.
Would I be allowed to make fun of the movie after starring in it?
Because dude, absolutely. That was, that's a hard yes.
If that was the case, then I'm very possibly in. Like doing it sort of like an inside research kind of thing.
Yeah. So Big R, as Retreat Man, would you star in a Christian movie? Maybe Retreat Man is a Christian movie. Probably.
I mean, that's the thing. So like, guys, I'm in real danger of like being like hypocrite of the year. So like, man, I've made Christian albums. I've played Christian festivals. I've spoken at Christian conference. I mean, I've been to Christian youth groups. I've worn Christian clothes. I've eaten Christian trail mix. I mean, to say I wouldn't do a Christian movie, to say that that's the one thing I wouldn't delve into, I mean, yeah, I feel hard no like Pipe. But at the same time, if I look at my track record, it's like, well, that's rich, Martin. I mean, that's rich that's the one thing you wouldn't do. You know?
What kind of a hypocrite am I?
I mean, for real. And again, Pipe, I'm with you, dude. I mean, let's talk about budget. Let's talk about who's starring in it. Let's talk about if Kirk's going to be in it or not, because those are the questions you ask, right? I mean, that's what I want to know, right? Is Jim Caviezel going to be in it? I mean, if Jim Caviezel is going to be in it, then I don't know if I need that much talking into, you know? So.
Yeah, Caviez is in it for sure. Now, this one gets a little close to home, boys. Have you read each other's books? Is the question. Yeah. Let's start with Big R. Have you read my books or Piper's books?
Yeah, so Big T, I've read I've read a couple of Big T books, more than a couple. And I've read a couple of Pipe books, so I actually have. Yep.
Dude, nice.
Yep, I'm in. I'm in on that one. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. I've read the books that we've written together, Big R. So I like that. I feel like that counts.
Yeah, that's that. You guys have a nice sort of like working advantage there, where you kind of had to read those. So yeah. Good job, guys.
Pipe, well, you're really talking your way around this. I think we know the answer, so it's okay. Next question.
Well, no, I deserve a chance to answer, especially because I have read books by both of you. So, yeah. I read. I read one that was by both of you together, The Bridezilla.
That counts? That counts?
And then I read Ted's Mike Tyson book.
There you go.
Nice. Oh, I appreciate it.
Wow, that's big. Guys, I feel so much camaraderie right now. I don't even know what to do with myself. I mean,
I know, man.
I feel like we're better friends. I feel close right now, you know?
All right, next questions, man. I'm really working through these because we're in a time crunch. Okay. This one is interesting. Is it acceptable for a man to get a pedicure with his wife? Sub question, is it acceptable for a man to get a pedicure without his wife? I'm going to be authentic here in saying that I've had pedicures with my wife, and it is fabulous. Like, there are a few experiences.
That's exactly the word to use, too.
Fabulous. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing, man. There are very few experiences from a pampering standpoint that I've enjoyed as much as a good pedicure. So I'm yes on the pedicures. Piper, what about you?
Pedicures are the kind of thing that if you're going to do it, you have to do it unironically and unabashedly. So I've never done it. I have no interest in doing it. However, if I had a friend who was like, yeah, I get pedicures, and he was not the least bit embarrassed and didn't make jokes about it, didn't, you know, joke about how effeminate it is, good for him. However, if you're the kind of guy who, like, is ashamed and scoffs at it, not for you until you can man up and own your pedicure.
I agree. Now, Piper, what are the chances that Big R, that the pedicure is a part of the pampering situation that he's in sojourn this week down in Naples? Is that on the schedule, Big R? Is that on the conference, like, little lanyard thing that there's going to be a pedicure situation?
Guys, no,
like a pedicure
break between
sessions?
Not until the last day.
When you're a little tired from the sessions and the eating and all the frolicking, you get to really rest with a pedicure.
Yeah, Sojourn likes to wrap up the entire conference, the entire retreat with pedicures for you know, just, you know, couple pedicures is what they call them. They call them CPs. There's another
dude, that's crazy you. Because Spurgeon actually wrote a book called Couple Pedicures.
Yeah, he did, and that's where they got it from. They got it from the unreleased sermons that I think B&H is releasing from Spurgeon. Yeah, one of them was Couple Pedicure, CP.
How important that is for pastors.
It's in volume 2, everybody. Yeah. So yeah, if you're looking for those sermons, they're in volume 2.
Yeah, Betsy Spurgeon, his wife or whatever her name was, she was all about it.
Yeah, the foreword's by Piper's dad, just on the whole wartime lifestyle tip, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be wartime lifestyle, but that doesn't mean we have to have bad.
I think it's Piper's grandpa, Henry Piper or whatever his name was.
I love it.
Funny thing is Henry is my mom's maiden name. So there is a Henry Piper connection, but no, my grandfather's name was Bill.
Bill. Yeah. William Piper. That's what I meant. Will Piper.
I love it. I love it. So this question is kind of related, actually. Are there any acceptable forms of sandal wearing for men in public is the question. And since Big R is our resident, like, fashion expert, we're going to go to him first.
Andy's from California originally, which tells me that there's probably a fair amount of exposed toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably at this conference, too.
I mean, so it's acceptable, but you got to wear the right sand. You got to wear rainbows, and you got to wear something acceptable, right? So it has to be acceptable open-toed footwear. And, you can do it. Again, it has to be the right product, like anything else we do in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Piper, what about you? Pro sandal? Yes or no?
There are certain kinds that I think look really dumpy and stupid, and no socks ever. I realize that's probably doesn't need to be said, but I still see men wearing socks with their sandals, so should probably put that one out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't understand the. Like, I saw somebody tweet the other day that was basically like, "No sandals ever look good on any grown man," and I was like, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
They actually look great, especially if you have nice feet. They look great." You know,
yeah, dude. Here's the thing: like, if you're wearing sandals, you're not really looking to, like, be drop dead gorgeous. You're looking to be comfortable because it's hot outside.
Absolutely,
is the issue there, Pipe? The way that, like, a lot of, like, grown men's calves and shins are, like, weirdly hairless. I guess from a lifetime of, like, wearing pants.
Yeah, the friction of their chinos.
The friction of their chinos, kind of. I don't know what happens there, but I'm with that person on the level of, like, yeah, I think for a lot of older men, there's a certain grossness to the calf. But
everybody, I'm sure Ronnie has seen this plenty this week, like, clergy specifically have, like, Casper white legs. Like, there's no leg that's as white as a pastor's leg. Yeah. And then I think the other thing is, like, a lot of dudes wear, like, Tevas and tacos, which are great if you're, like, whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
Or hiking, or like you're in the boundary waters. They're not great for, like, going out to eat. They look stupid. I think that might have sort of tainted this person's view of open-toed footwear.
I mean, a stripped-down pair of sandals. It depends what you wear with them, too. Like, a stripped-down pair of sandals with, like, the right pants or shorts. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It's almost like you're not even wearing them. Like, you can barely even see them unless you get up close. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but just a basic sandal. I think we're all, like,
yeah,
we're
basic
all
sandal.
On a basic sandal.
It's like,
yeah,
super, it's like, right.
Floppy, man.
Right.
Easy. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, I mean, you all just don't want to overthink it. I mean, it's that simple.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's it.
You know?
Next question, boys, and I have to be honest with you. I don't even know what this is, all right? So this is one I don't know what it is, and you guys enlighten me. The question is, do you guys play PUBG? What is PUBG? I don't even know what
that is. I left that question in there because I had no idea what the heck it was, and I simply wanted to say the phrase PUBG.
PUBG.
I've never played PUBG. I've never played PUBG. I refuse to play PUBG.
I don't even know what it is.
I know. I just would never.
Nobody knows what it is.
I don't even think we should.
Do you think the BG stands for board game? So it's something something board game, and if that's the answer, then I most definitively do not play it.
Public public something board games, like game, like like public board gaming. Is that what they mean?
Yeah, probably.
Because there's all those places now where you go and you play to sit down.
It's like online gaming, except with like Risk.
Well, no, yeah, because there's all all these like there's all these hotspots now that just like you pay to get in, and they have like 290 different board games, and it's like a hangout. It's like a Starbucks. But it's for like board gaming, and you just hang out and you play board games with your friends.
That sounds almost as terrible as the Cat Cafe that just opened in Nashville.
But it's like a thing, you guys. I'm not joking. It's board gaming, public board gaming thing. It's like a thing. They even opened one in A-Town, Big T. I'm telling you, in A-Town.
Whoa, baby, in A-Town.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a weird – it's like a kind of a – it's like a phenomenon right now.
That is a phenomenon. Yeah. Interesting.
It's like a cool thing. Yeah.
We've got time for one more question, and I'm going to lay this one on you, and then we're going to wrap the episode. But the question is this. Have you ever had a stalker slash legitimate threat? Yes or no? I'll start with Piper. Stalker, legitimate threat?
I mean, nothing that went so far as needing to call the cops.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I dated a girl for a very short amount of time who didn't get the message very clearly when I broke up with her. And so there was a lot of unwanted phone calls and instant messages, which was the communication tool du jour. Let's see. You know, some of the same things on like Facebook or Instagram are like people just persistently hit you with messages.
Yeah.
But nothing it's nothing that has moved past the point of like annoyance.
Yeah. Big R?
Yeah, I've probably gotten like Pipe, but maybe one or two steps further down the road than that, where it's like, okay, I can see this potentially like getting like weirder than it already is. So yeah, one or two cases like that. Yeah.
I feel like if you're an entertainer, like your former career, Ronnie, you're the door is kind of open for more crazy in that world.
It is. And some of it is still lingered a little bit too, if I'm being honest with you boys. So it's weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So really these retreats are like retreating from the stalkers. This is like Ronnie's break from people who are like running up to him with vials of blood and stuff like that.
So I really did have a guy one time, and I'm not kidding, please believe me, that came up to me one time and had this little vial of blood around his neck at a show like 15 years ago.
Whose blood was it?
It was his blood, and he asked if he could prick my finger so that he could combine my blood with his blood.
Judas Priest.
And it was like, he was serious, you know, and he's like, it really wouldn't hurt. I understand if you don't want to do it. And I'm like, well, he said, you got to understand. I don't want to do it, you know.
Well, at least he's reasonable about it.
Yeah. He wasn't like, right. He didn't like freak out. It wasn't like super one of those things. It was just like.
I'll find another way to cast a spell on you.
It was like the seriousness. It was like the zero irony of it. You know what I mean? There was nothing funny, ironic about it. He was very, very like goth about the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
He was going to go home that night and his mom would be like, how was the show? And he'd be like, sweet. I got a little bit of Ronnie Martin.
I got a vial. I didn't get a vial. So I don't know what happened. I never saw him again. So I don't know what happened after that. You know?
Yeah, it was a super fun concert. I got a T-shirt and a CD and a vial of someone's blood. So
that's what happens.
There you go.
That's what happens go to a Big R concert, right? You get blood.
Boys, we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics, and I want to thank our audience, man. I want to thank our listeners. We have the best listeners in radio. They are amazing. They are all over the world. They're in Canada even. And for the listeners in Canada. I want a little synergy up there. I really want to check out a CFL game. Let's get an event on the books for this season in Canada. Also, for our artist listeners, I really, really want a rendering of Retreat Man. Okay? So if nothing else comes out of this episode.
Denim and Lanyard.
Those are your key things. So you run with that. You interpret it however you want. But I would love a Retreat Man drawing. To run with for next week. So, Piper, on behalf of myself and Big R, we got to let him go because he's got some stuff to get to. Okay, there's shuffleboard, there's more frolicking in the surf to get to. So let's get him out.
Birds and Daiquiri waiting for him at the hotel bar.
Guys, I know you're. I mean, I got. Thanks for letting me go because man, it's rough here. There's a lot to do. A lot of stuff.
It's really rough. A lot of work. You know, Spurgeon actually wrote. Never mind. Boys, this has been fun. We've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.